22 years, Hannah Levitan has been educating, mentoring, and enlightening people about how to find real potential in their relationships. Her classes on the topic are standing room only. And with her book called I Only Want to Get Married Once, Dating Secrets for Getting It Right the First Time, one will find a smart, clear relationship guide with 10 essential questions that need to be asked before and during the dating process in order to spot long-term potential. Her book is filled with real-life anecdotes and insightful dating advice, and her book will help you better understand yourself and what you really need to succeed in building a loving marriage. Welcome to the show, Hannah Levitan.
Thank you, Tamar. It's great to be on.
It's good to have you. And just by the way, if anybody wants to go and take a look at the book and order it, you can get that at GeffenPublishing.com. GeffenPublishing.com is called I Only Want to Get Married Once. All right, so tell us about your book.
Okay. Well, this is a book that was written based on many years of lecturing, and after seeing direct success in people's lives using the information and getting tremendous feedback, I decided to put it into writing and to try to reach out to a larger audience.
All right. A lot of us who are in the West grew up with the idea of Hollywood romance and fall in love and love will conquer all. Where's the mistake?
Okay. Listen, we all believe in love and we need to. And unfortunately, I think people are stopping to believe in love. And, you know, the mistake is in thinking that love just happens, that love is a feeling and we're supposed to just wait for it to happen. And the first step in creating a loving marriage, well, there's two steps, really. There's one is dating smartly, and the second one is being married smartly and knowing that, that love is not just going to stick around. But before we talk about the second step, which is knowing that love is a verb and something we have to always re-choose and re-choose, we first have to choose a person who we're capable of loving. And if we want to know what the trick is, we really do get fooled by infatuation and we get clouded. And as much as we know about infatuation, we still get tricked, we still get fooled. And we have to know how to see through the cloudy murk of infatuation to see the real potential in the relationship.
So how do we do that? You know, a lot of us are lonely and then we finally find a guy or a girl that's cute and they're attractive and you can talk with them and there might be something there and you really want to make it work because you want to get married and settle down and build a house already. So how do you not fall into the infatuation trap where you think, love will conquer all, let's just do it and whatever needs to be worked out later will work out later.
Okay. So first of all, we have to understand that infatuation is going to be part of the equation. We're not trying to get rid of it. We want to keep it to a minimum. So that's number one. It's not like either or. It's all love or it's all infatuation. So the first thing we have to really remember is there's going to be some infatuation. Great, fine, but we cannot base a relationship on it. And that's because infatuation has been proven to be a temporary experience. It never lasts more than about 3 years. So we have to make sure that there's something there besides chemistry and besides the wow. And that's what my book is all about. What else is in this relationship? What's the potential underlying that infatuation? Let's put the infatuation on the side and what's real? So the questions that are in my book, these 10 questions, are designed for a person to ask themselves, not to ask the person they're dating, to ask themselves in order to reality check themselves while they're dating.
All right. So what are the things we need to look for in reference to goals and values that we truly cherish and want to incorporate in our future lives with our future spouse versus the infatuation that we feel?
Great. So when it comes to infatuation, we said it's short-lived. And when the infatuation starts to fade, and this is where couples get tricked, once the infatuation starts to fade, there has to be something stronger in the midst of that relationship really to support it. That's where the goals and values come in. When the infatuation starts to dwindle, the goals and the values take center stage. And if the goals and the values are not matching up, there's going to be a serious train wreck. So the first thing that has to be checked is that we're on the same page with goals and values. We're going down the same road. Because if we're not going down the same road, we're going to crash eventually.
You know, I remember the movie. I don't know if you saw it, but it was called the Titanic. You remember?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And I always told my kids, don't be fooled. That marriage, if he wouldn't have died, never would have worked out, because right now she's infatuated because he's free. Mm-hmm. And wherever he puts his hat, it's his home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's romantic and exciting. But wait till the kids come. Since she wants her kids to get a good education, wants them to have shoes and the proper attire, and wants them to get, you know, correct culture. And he's just, you know, oh, but you knew when you married me, I wasn't that type of guy. I can't give you stability. Mm-hmm. And I said that marriage never would have lasted.
Yeah, I mean, we could take a lot of examples of this. I mean, August Rush is another example of, like, you know, just this moment of, wow, bliss, infatuation. You know, if they got married, who knows what would have happened? It's not so simple when two people are so different and their value systems are so different that something could actually work.
Yeah, it's attractive, but it doesn't
very attractive.
Work.
It's, and it's very powerful in the beginning, but you know, over and over, it's proven in our own lives and all around us that type of a connection just doesn't last. It has to be the fabric of the goals and the values. Number one.
One of the questions that you asked in your book, which I really, really liked, and I thought, wow, she is spot on here. One of the questions you ask is that you need to ask yourself when you're dating, if nothing was going to change, if the person you're dating never changes, would you still want to get married? That's a great question, because we always think, well, he'll be more religious, or, well, she won't be so, you know, dominant on me about religion or whatever it is, or, you know, this will change. I'll change him. I'll change her. Would you still marry them if they didn't change? So how'd you even come up with that one?
Well, I've been dealing with couples for over 20 years, and this is one that I see women more than men, but I see men do make this mistake as well, but women more than men oftentimes have this belief in one's potential. He's so amazing. I know he's going to change, and we just need to get married. And through all the statistics that I've looked at, this is one of the main reasons people get divorced, because they get married thinking that the person's going to change. They get married with this condition. Oh, but he said he wants to lose some weight. She said she wants to lose some weight. She said she's going to be more religious. She said that she's not going to be so, you know, so religious. Whatever it is, and people have these conditions, and they're sitting there waiting for the person to change, and that's the last condition. That's really, in a sense, the worst atmosphere for a person to change, when someone's sitting there waiting for them to change. We change in an atmosphere of acceptance.
So,
And we grow in an atmosphere of acceptance. So what happens is, when people get married with these conditions, they then are sitting there, you know, tapping their foot, like, come on, go, let's go, change. And they're not really accepting and loving the person, and that's a disaster.
Who recommends your book? I know a lot of people want to know, you know, who's your Rav? Like what kind of Rabbanim, rabbis suggest your book as a good guide for before getting married?
Okay, so, well, I've written my book for a large audience. It's written for Jews, for non-Jews, for religious people, for not religious people, and of the religious crowd. I had Dr. Avram Tversky is a very big supporter, and he wrote an endorsement.
Right, Avram Tversky. Right, he's very good. He's written a lot of good books on
Musar
and improving character traits.
And then, you know, I also have, you know, the governor of Michigan and all sorts of non-Jewish people who are big fans. And the book is also taking off in the Christian world. They're looking for good, solid books on values with Jewish values, and they're taking to the book very nicely as well.
All right, great. Well, I wish you really good luck on your book. Again, it's called I Only Want to Get Married Once, Dating Secrets for Getting It Right the First Time. You can get that at GeffenPublishing.com. Thank you very
also,
much.
Also, Amazon and Barnes & Noble's online. It's available there. And Stamatsky's, all of the bookstores over here, Tamir, it's out there.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, good. You know what? I have a daughter who's of marriageable age, and I'm going to get her to read it before she makes any decisions.
Okay,
thanks
great.
A lot. Thanks for
Thank
coming
you.
With
it's
us.
A pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.